So I'm going to open the Senate Committee on General Government and Accountability for March 27th, 2017, and I'm going to do all these public hearings. I'm going to open them all at once. I'm going to open a public hearing on SGR 8, Senate Bill 637, Senate Bill 638, Senate Bill 639, and Senate Bill 640. And Senator Farioli, would you give us a little bit on these bills, and then we'll turn it over to the
yes,
Senator.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Joint Resolution 8 proposes an amendment to the Oregon Constitution to have the administrative rule be subject to sunset upon petition of one or more senators and one or more representatives. Senate Bill 637 directs the public official who presides over public meetings that is recorded by sound recording to require speakers to identify the street, state their name whenever speaking, which sometimes we try to be diligent about, but sometimes we miss. Senate Bill 638 requires a member of a governing body who presides over a public meeting that is recorded by sound or recording to cause the name of each member of the governing body attending the meeting to name the name and name each person speaking at the meeting to be recorded on the recording. And Senate Bill 639 establishes public access requirements for written records and other informational materials presented at public meetings of public bodies. 640 requires public bodies, that make sound, video, or digital recordings of public meetings to make recordings of sufficient quality be comprehensible by persons of average faculties of vision and hearing.
So Senator Olson is going to come and talk about one of these bills, but when he gets here, we'll bring him up and he can join you.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate the courtesy. Senator Ted Farioli, District 30, and I'm here to address Senate Bills 637, 38, 39, and 40. Colleagues, you'll recognize the protocols listed in every one of these bills because it's the protocols from the state legislature. We routinely ask folks doing sound recordings to speak their name for the record. We routinely ask folks to identify themselves before they resume testimony on the record, as if we were being sensitive to people who are listening who are not present in the room, folks on the telephone, folks watching the internet, or elsewhere. And that, of course, includes people that want to listen to these proceedings after the fact. Finally, we're asking folks who make sound, video, or digital recordings to use a standard technology that other people can decode reasonably well. That is to say, the audio is discernible, the video is it's all legibly and audibly captured so that people can review those records and have access. Colleagues, we think that these protocols, as simple as they may sound, will help people establish a protocol so that public records are in fact easily retrievable and contain content that the public's interested in getting. And that's the purpose behind those four bills. One would actually wonder why we need these sort of protocols put into statute. The answer is we have 36 different county jurisdictions and hundreds of cities, over 100 cities, and many of them don't have the capacity or don't use the same sort of protocols. And we'd like to see something standardized, even though it means some expense for those jurisdictions, and something that makes the public records as accessible by the public. And that's the whole point of the Sunshine Laws, accessibility. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'll sit quietly by while my colleague discusses the Senate resolution that he's come to address.
Thank you. They're not coming for me. Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Vice Chair, members of the committee. My name is Alan Olson. I represent Senate District 20, which is the heart of Clackamas County, and I'm here today to talk to you about Senate Joint Resolution 8, which proposes an amendment to the Constitution to have administrative rule be subject to sunset upon petition of one or more senators and one or more representatives. When I first came here, I was absolutely flabbergasted at the amount of rules that we have to create a business, over 11,000 pages. I actually put all the books that we have for administrative rules onto a cart and roll them into a committee hearing to talk about the fact that we have too many rules. And so I felt that the only way to make certain that we could remove some of these antiquated rules is to file for a constitutional amendment to say that we should be able to clean these up. We as the legislative body should do it on our own, but apparently we don't have the will or fortitude to do it. And so with Senate Joint Resolution 8, the people will have the opportunity to say, you folks have a great opportunity here. Let's clean these up and partake of some rules that are pertinent to today's time. And I believe that this bill will provide us with an opportunity to open our doors to create more businesses to come here. I think it will draw broad support throughout the state because anybody that has to go in and file to do anything with the government realizes the bureaucracy you have to dance through, the rules you have to go to. Just go down to the DMV to try to get your new driver's license or get license plates, and you'll see the bureaucracy that we've created that needs to be cleaned up to make it easy for people to do business, to conduct their daily lives in our state. Also, this bill will allow that any agency that makes rules consistent with our legislative intent, so that when we say this is what we'd like to see, this is in fact the rules that they publish and the rules that come out, so people can understand where it came from. It came from the legislative body. And I wholeheartedly presume that when SJR passes, it will improve the business climate by eliminating unpopular and job-killing regulations. And the one thing we don't need in this state is job-killing regulations. We need the opportunity for business anywhere in the world to come and look at Oregon and say, that's a place where I can work. That's a place where I can establish myself and create family wage jobs without having to go through years and years and years of the bureaucratic hassle and hiring lawyers to read all the rules and regulations that would apply to any business that wants to come here. So I think this is an important bill for our state. It would be great to be able to advertise in other states that you can come here, and the rules you have to play by are about the size of the rules of golf, which are about 15 pages. And I would love to see that in our state, and I would ask for your support in this bill.
So any questions on SJR 8? We have all these bills open, and so I wanted to let you go when you're finished with this particular one, since you're not speaking on the others.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. So any questions on any of the other bills that are open at this point for Senator Farioli? So, Senator, it appears to me that if 637 is a subset of 638, is that correct?
Mr. Chair, these are standalone bills that could easily nest inside a bill that had a broader relating to clause, but the point of all the bills is the same. I wish I could take each and every one of the members of the committee to some of the communities who are still transcribing public hearings by hand and converting those to typescript, and then those records get filed literally in a file cabinet. And when members of the public want to avail the logic pattern and the look at the exhibits that were used and revisit the testimony, they literally have to file a Freedom of Information form or go visit the jurisdiction and request those documents to be copied when the technology certainly does exist to do this in a much more user-friendly, and I mean user for the general public, much more user-friendly way. So I'm open to amendment, consolidation, or any of the input that we might receive from the jurisdictions, which I think will offer some testimony on these bills.
Okay,
thank you
very much.
Mr. Chair and members.
And I have on Senate Bill 639, Scott Winkles, Mark Landover, and Rob Bennett. Is that Bennett?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bovet. I'm sorry, I said got the wrong Rob.
Okay.
Chair Riley, members of the committee, for the record, Scott Winkles representing the League of Oregon Cities. I have had some conversations with Senator Ferrioli and the sponsor on the bill about some potential amendments and changes. We do have some concerns as the bills are written. First, on Senate Bill 639, the three-day requirement could be a bit of a challenge for a lot of jurisdictions, and so extending that out so they have more ability to get those records posted, scanned, and online would be helpful. I guess additionally, not every jurisdiction in Oregon, not all of the 241 cities in Oregon have a website, and so that would require the construction. I will point out that on Wednesday of this week, this committee will be taking up Senate Bill 210, which deals with electronic notifications and distribution of records, and that and passage of that bill would certainly make aspects of 639 much more user-friendly and much more making documents much more accessible. But we can have that conversation then. And finally, we would also like some protection in the bill that would make sure that a document submitted to the record be germane, and so that we do have some scenarios where some people become frustrated, they become mischievous, shall we say, and so they could put a document on the record that was voluminous and voluminous and not be necessarily germane to the topic at hand. On Senate Bill 640, the bill to require the quality of recordings, there are some fiscal implications to doing so. And so, for instance, if a city is purchasing their laptops off of the state purchasing contract, and you're using those microphones and cameras, is that sufficient? It's really a question of how much money can you throw at this one to get a the sound quality we desire. I think we've all had experiences with what we thought were excellent conference call recording equipments that turned out to be not as excellent as we were hoping. And so with that, I'm eager to continue conversations on these topics.
Good afternoon, Chair Riley, members of the committee. My name is Mark Landauer. I'm here on behalf of the Special Districts Association of Oregon. Our membership currently has 932 districts that we represent, and I'd like to address some of my remarks to Senate Bill 639, the requirement to post materials on a website. Of our 932 members, I just had this number verified today, only 321 of our members actually have websites that we're aware of. I can tell you, being very involved with the ports, there are 23 public ports in the state of Oregon. I can tell you that the Port of Nehalem and the Port of Coquiel do not have websites. So the challenge that I see presented in Senate Bill 639 is primarily between lines 8 and 13, where it would appear as though any materials that were being prepared by staff or other representatives of the public body would have to be posted at least 24 hours in advance. You'll note in sub B of the bill, there is an exception for the posting if a government body does not have a website. I think it would be very helpful if that same exception was included in subparagraph A as well. That way we won't be put into a position of necessarily having to create websites where some, frankly, may not need them. The other challenge that this bill presents, perhaps, is emergency-type meetings, where a public body, as a result of some type of an emergency, doesn't have the ability or time to be able to post the materials that are going to be before the public body 24 hours in advance. So I do think that there are a few challenges that are contained in the bill. I certainly understand the intent, which is certainly noble, but there are some technical challenges with the bill as it's presented today. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Rob Bovet, Legal Counsel Association of Oregon Counties. I would pretty much say ditto to what my two colleagues have just said. I think maybe from a 50,000-foot vantage point, it might be helpful to understand that, at least with my members, the 36 Oregon counties, they sit as a public policy-making board like you all. but they also sit wearing all kinds of different hats that this bill really doesn't fit very well. They're the local public contracting board. They're the local board of health. They often don't meet daily like you do. So what do we do with closed bids? Do we unseal them and post them 24 hours in advance when we're not supposed to under public meetings law? I would echo the comments you've heard about special and emergency meetings. This bill doesn't fit real well with any of that, or last-minute corrections or changes to documents that often come up. I would add to my colleague, Mr. Winkles, about not requiring the posting of documents that people submit that are not germane, or even worse, that are slanderous, that we really shouldn't be republishing. We probably also need a safe harbor for websites that go down, denial of service attacks, various other reasons that websites can go down. There needs to be some sort of exception or built-in safe harbor for those types of things. We have, I did send out an email to the county attorney's listserv and got back a whole lot of suggestions and concerns, and I've shared all of those with Senator Farioli's office, so hopefully we can work through some amendments.
Great. Questions? Thank you very much. So that's everyone I have on my list. Is there anybody else who'd like to testify on these bills? If not, I'm going to close these public hearings. And I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 254.
One moment, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 254, the members will recall, has been heard, and we were waiting for one fiscal statement on one set of amendments on the 20th that weren't ready in time. The measure has been carried over twice. Senate Bill 254 was originally heard on March 8th, again carried over from March 20th. It requires financial institutions to use the Department of Revenue's data match system once per quarter to identify delinquent debtors' accounts. Those are debtors to the state of Oregon. There was a recommendation to refer to the Joint Ways and Means Committee. There's a fiscal light, and the on all three sets of amendments, when it was two sets of amendments, forgive me, when it was previously or dash two and dash three, we were just waiting on the outstanding revenue. We have all that information now, so the chair and the committee could move it if they were inclined. We just didn't have all the paperwork on the 8th or the 20th.
Okay.
Is anybody opposed to moving it forward?
Chair Riley, I move to adopt the dash two amendments dated 3/17/17.
Senator DeBoer moves to adopt the dash two amendments dated 3/17/17. Is there any discussion?
Just real quick.
Yes.
Is this the one? Refresh my memory real quick on what the amendment was.
Taylor, Senator Johnson, if you recall the testimony, mostly from Senator Taylor on using the requiring the financial institutions to correspond with the Department of Revenue so they could locate debtor accounts instead of fishing and guessing where their accounts were located.
Okay, thanks.
Any other discussion? Any objection? The dash twos are adopted.
Chair Riley, I move to adopt the dash three amendments dated 3/20/17.
Senator DeBoer moves to adopt the dash three amendments dated 3/20/17. Is there any discussion? Is there an objection? The dash threes are adopted.
Chair Riley, I move Senate Bill 254 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Chair DeBoer moves Senate Bill 254 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Is there discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I just want to put on the record, I apologize to you, to committee administrator, and to Senator Haas on last Wednesday. The bill was scheduled for a work session. I, in my office, neglected to tell the chair and staff that I had a must-do meeting at 2:30. He had put off the movement of that bill until after we did our public hearings, which unfortunately did not occur before I left. And so that is why we have it here today instead of taking care of business last Wednesday. So I apologize.
Further discussion? I'm going to have the clerk call the roll on this one.
Senator Haas?
Aye.
Senator Przalski?
Aye.
Senator Thatcher?
Aye.
Vice Chair DeBoer?
Aye.
Chair Riley?
Aye. Motion passes, and the bill will be sent to Ways and Means. I'm going to close this work session, and I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 89.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I sent everyone an email on the confusion with this measure. This measure was moved out at the committee's last meeting with the dash 1, dash 2, and dash 3 amendment, and I was contacted after the committee had closed that the Senate Revenue Office was not comfortable with the no revenue statements associated with each of those three sets of amendments. Now, it's the protocol of my office, Legislative Research and Policy Office, to request combined amendments anytime the committee moves to adopt amendments. So the dash 1, dash 2, and dash 3, today we have a dash 4. It's been posted since it was delivered from Legislative Council's office, and it is the combined amendment for the dash 1, dash 2, and dash 3. Legislative Revenue wasn't comfortable with its no revenue statements on the 1, 2, and 3. They have reissued revenue statements on the dash 4 as requested by my office, which is a combination of the 1, 2, and 3. For whatever reason, they reconsidered. They had more time to think about it. They've staffed it internally and decided they were not comfortable with no revenue. They think that some revenue is capable of being generated from Senate Bill 89. They just can't tell. So there's a dash 4 amendment pending, and what the committee is required to do, since it moved the bill with those three sets of amendments, is to walk backwards from the adoption of those amendments. It's a convoluted motion. Put the bill in its original state, Senate Bill 89, pending any amendment before the committee, and then move to adopt the dash 4, which is the combined amendment, to go forward again with the new revenue statements intact that the Revenue Office is comfortable with. So that's the motion that's been prepared in the script today, if the committee is comfortable.
And if I'm right, if this bill passes, it will require a two-thirds majority on the floor. Is that correct?
To open the work session and suspend the rules for the purpose of reconsidering the vote.
I see. It's a committee.
The initial amendment, you open the work session, the committee moves to reconsider. That initial vote requires two-thirds. That's correct.
Great. Thank you.
So, Chair Riley, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on Senate Bill 89.
Senator Boer moves the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on Senate Bill 89. The motion is not debatable. Is there any objection to the motion? The rules are suspended.
Chair Riley, I move we reconsider the vote by which Senate Bill 89 was sent to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation, and that the bill was referred to Ways and Means.
Senator Boer moves to reconsider the vote by which Senate Bill 89 was sent to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation, and that the bill was referred to Ways and Means. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection? Motion carries. The measure is once again before the committee.
Chair Riley, I move we reconsider the vote by which the dash 1, dash 2, and dash 3 amendments dated 2/17/17, 3/2/17, and 3/6/17 respectively were adopted.
Senator Boer moves to reconsider the vote by which the committee adopted the dash 1, dash 2, and dash 3 amendments dated 2/17, 3/2, and 3/6 respectively. Is there any discussion? Any objection? The motion is once again before the committee in its original form as Senate Bill 89.
Chair Riley, I move to adopt the dash 4 amendments dated 3/21/17.
Senator Boer moves to adopt the dash 4 amendments dated 3/21/17. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection? The motion carries. The amendments are adopted.
And finally, Chair Riley, I move Senate Bill 89 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Senator Boer moves Senate Bill 89 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion? I'm going to do a roll call vote.
Senator Hatch?
Aye.
Senator Brzozowski?
Aye.
Senator Thatcher?
Aye.
Vice Chair DeBoer?
Aye.
Chair Riley?
Aye. Motion carries. The bill is sent to the floor with a referral to Ways and Means. And I'm going to close that work session, and I think that clears the calendar, so I'm going to close this meeting. Thank you very much, members.
Education.
Meeting. Thank you very much, members.